Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place of everything related to Amazon FBA, Parallel, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring you another special guest. His name is Christian, and he's a vice president at Amalyze, which is one of the top companies out there when it comes to software and also service that support Amazon sellers in terms of PPC, keyword research, and much more, which is why we're going to be talking today. When I saw Christian, actually, I met him for the first time in Prague. He was talking at the European Seller Conference, which is one of the Amazon events out there when it comes to Amazon sellers to Europe. So I invite you to check it out. And I was really amazed about, you know, the knowledge that Christian brings to the space. He's also very active in LinkedIn. So I'm sure today he's going to drop a lot of knowledge for you guys, especially around, you know, how to do proper keyword research and how that connects with what you do at the PPC level. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic. Looking forward to discuss today. So Christian, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, bro. How you doing?
Hello together. Yeah, I'm fine. And it was absolutely awesome to meet you in Prague. Let's say it.
We had some fun.
I want to say it more like what happens in Prague stays in Prague, as Augusta said. One of the awesomest and best conferences when it comes to international sellers and new mindsets and meeting awesome people. And I'm on a lot of events in Germany, but Prague is really, really special and in a positive way. Yeah,
we had so much fun. And at the same time, I was amazed about, you know, the amount of people that were coming all around the globe to meet in Prague, people from the States, people from Asia, people from across Europe. And that's the beauty of, you know, the community of Amazon sellers. We are so international, but at the same time, when we gather, it's like we're a huge family and we get really intimate in terms of the things that we share, the experiences. It's an amazing thing. So I invite everybody, if you have an event nearby, definitely go. I feel networking is super important. So Christian, you have been in the space for so many years now. So I'm really intrigued to know what brought you to the Amazon space, because I'm sure you have something interesting you can share with us. And then we can dive into, you know, all the technicality, which I'm sure people is also looking to learn from you.
Well, that's a special case. From my point of view, I'm working in the Amazon environment since 10 years now. I have started as a product marketing manager. That means product sourcing, developing of packagings, of inlays, and all that stuff, from sourcing to the shelf, consumer electronics, Media Markt, and so on. And then I ask a stupid question, what is with online shelf? What is with Amazon? And everybody was like, what? What are you talking about? Do you have too many time or what? And I was like, yes. And so I started my first 2 years for a vendor, and I managed Europe for consumer electronics, so gaming mices and all that stuff, keyboards, and where I learned from the dark side. So from the dark side, Vendor Central is, from my point of view, the dark side, and the light side is Seller Central. Then a short time, I built up one of the biggest agencies in Europe for Amazon, focused also Vendor Central. And then I joined one of the biggest sellers, SellerX, formerly known as KW Commerce. And I built it up there, the Amazon section, and with all that. Our guys there, that was awesome. I think they are the first seller after Anchor that reached the value of 1 billion. And then I worked a few times as a consultant, as an agency. So I've done that. And last but not least, the most of the time now, I think since 5 years, I'm working for software as a service. So I've worked in the whole Amazon environment, but not for Amazon.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I think, first of all, I mean, that's quite a CV you got there. I mean, you went through some of the top companies in the space when it comes to, you know, offering expertise to Amazon sellers. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you mentioned the vendor side of things. Every single time I speak to people that work in the vendor side, there's always a crazy story behind that. But at the same time, I usually think that if you master vendor, like when you jump to Seller Central, things are so much easier because of, you know, the fact that you have to figure out so many things on your own, then it builds you your character to then Seller Central be a walk in the park in between, kind of.
Yeah, on the one side. On the other side, what I have seen is that the vendor accounts are managed by normal people, but mm-hmm. their workload is Amazon Vendor Central 5% and 95% are other marketplaces.
Exactly.
ManoMano, Obi, whatever. So the problem is nobody's really hard focusing. In former times, definitely. In our times, it's a bit better with Teams and so on. And the change to Seller Central is normally, as you said, a walk in the park. But on the other mm-hmm. side, you need people 24/7 mm-hmm. and customer connections. You have a risk of getting abandoned from Amazon. Your listing will disappear just because to a simple problem. And then you have to handle the Amazon support. The Vendor mm-hmm. Central is not the same support as in the Seller Central. So there are a few pros, a few cons, but normally Vendor Central is not so easy.
Yeah. Now, let's dive a little bit about, you know, the topic you were touching on prior, because I love the fact that you're focusing so much around keywords, because I feel the analogy and the title of your presentation was great, like a focus on how actually you evaluate keywords right and collecting them. I think most people, they just get keywords on a bland way. They just take the top 10 competitors, they reverse acing them, they filter, and then they copy paste, and that's it. It dies there, right? They don't really go deep into what actually makes a keyword relevant for your product. Yeah. So I guess let's use that as a starting point for today's conversation, because I feel if you do that wrong, then everything you do after that, of course, is going to be amplified in a negative way, right? If you don't have the right keywords, then you're not going to index for the right keywords, then your PPC is not going to run for the keywords, and then it's a spiral down to that, basically. Yeah. So let's start with the foundation of what defines a good keyword, because I feel that's something people assume they know, but most people, after doing a lot of audits, I have identified that that's not the case. So let's start with that. Yeah.
Well, the main problem here is what defines a good keyword has to be replaced. What is a good product?
Exactly.
So everybody's talking about quality and the right price and so on. That is not the problem. The problem is, what problem is the product solving? If the customer understands he has, he, she, it, whatever, has a problem, he knows, okay, how to search. But when we are thinking in the times of Steve Jobs, nobody knows that that was a problem. The smartphone exactly. wasn't a problem, because it doesn't exist. And he stepped up and said, you all have a problem you don't know, but we solve it. That's exactly. the iPhone, okay? And everybody understands, okay, that is a cool problem. I take my money, get me the product. So the typical Apple story. And the problem is the easiest products on Amazon always normally solving a problem the customers mm-hmm. knowing, but they are formulating it in special ways. And then it comes to keywords. So what I try at the beginning is to understand on the one side, the product itself, unique selling points. I know everybody is talking about it. But on the other side, the market, when we go into the themes of market, product opportunity, explorer, search query performance report, and so on, a lot of tools are obsolete out there. So you find everything on Amazon on category level, ASIN level, and niche level per keyword. But last but not least, the customer. So we have product and problem solving, we have market and market behavior, and we have the customer. How he is searching, he, she, it, whatever. Why are we searching, and what are exactly the names and topics they are entering? And the problem here is that in that triangle, product, market, and customer, we're only it's going back to search volume. What is the highest search volume?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the highest search volume for t-shirt is surprise, t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
But that is not the way it's going to work. The problem here is really, really simple. When you're going into a formerly known brand analytics data, you will only find the three most clicked ASINs and their purchase behavior behind it. And when we're thinking about it, t-shirt. Yeah, everybody is searching for t-shirt, but then we are overwhelmed by the SERP results and everybody is like, I'm a man, I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm searching for men or women. And after that, we are seeing a lot of different colors, normally black, white, and gray. And we are like individuals. Oh, damn it, I want an orange one. Yeah. And so the searches from the main searches goes deeper and deeper and deeper. So the search volume will going lower, lower, lower to the specific behavior of each and every one of us. I like orange, you like blue, you maybe like it more tiny. I like the t-shirt a bit more opened. And so that is the big problem. And when you're only focusing on top search volume keywords, you will lose the purchase behavior at the end. Of course, when you look in the data, brand analytics and so on, you will see the high search keywords are not normally the high purchase keywords. And so that is the first idea. The second idea normally is that every search comes connected to a product between, a product behind, a product before it. My example in Prague was really easy. We have talked about on the one example about the typical garden situation. Okay. Yeah. So the garden chair, but you need a cover for it. Exactly. You need a cushion for it. You need a table outside, maybe a bank. And so the system of products surrounding your normal product is much bigger and bigger as you believe normally when you are only searching for new products and new keywords. And so that is an absolutely problem. And we are overjudging ourselves and our search behavior against the market. Of course, when we are entering a garden chair and we are seeing cushions and covers on the SERP, we are like, oh, Amazon is so stupid. Amazon is dumb. No, they are not. Amazon is combining each and every search and the customer
behavior
behind it, and they have figured out they are searching a chair, and then they are also searching and purchasing cushions and covers. And you have to understand that. And I think a lot of things are ending in the keyword research with contextual behavior and contextual things that are managed together. So everybody is optimizing a garden chair and seeing cushions and covers and is like, nope, that doesn't make any sense. Of course, I'm not selling it. But the customer is starting sometimes with that searches. And so you need to understand the contextual behavior and the SERP sites. And the SERP sites are then showing you the exact behavior. And the funny thing here is we don't need to understand A9.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just for a simple example, A9 means algorithms with S, A, and 9 letters, just to make it clear. Yeah.
Nothing fancy. Yeah.
So there will never be an A10, A11 or whatever. So, but we don't need to understand it. If we are understanding just that is the SERP for that month, week or whatever for that keyword, and that's the behavior. And when you fit into that behavior, you will have success. If the behavior changes, the SERP site volatility, so the products are changing in the positions. Maybe the colors are changing from spring to autumn or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you just have to recognize that change. And you have just to adapt it into your advertising, into your portfolio, when you're selling plates, simple plates for the kitchen. In the summer, you need salad and chicken, but in the winter, you need a big Xmas breakfast, meal. And so you have just to adopt what is happening. You don't have to understand the algorithm behind it. You just have to analyze what the customer is clearly entering with all that auto-suggests and all that tools by Amazon or our tools. We have specific solutions. And then you have just to make clear that your brand and your portfolio is fitting into the customer behavior. And that's the deal. The normal thing we are always seeing out there is more like, that is my product. I don't care if everybody needs that.
Exactly.
PPC, PPC, PPC. We are trying to get rid of that, what the customer really wants. It's not working like that. It's not working like that. You will not solve any problems with money on Amazon. You will solve problems by adapting to the market, understanding the market, the customer, and the product. That triangle is so relevant.
So well said. Yeah, I think you did a perfect analogy with the garden thing. I remember, because I feel like at the end of the day, that's where most of the money is. Because if you understand the funnel of what a consumer does to reach the decision buying your product, you can actually advertise them or catch it midway on that funnel and basically convert them to your product, right? And then looking at our options. So that's super important. But at the same time, I feel people lack the strategy or maybe the analytical mindset about how they can figure out the family around the product. Because if you go into certain niches, such as, for example, like supplements, it can get tricky, because then supplement has so many connotations in terms of this ingredient can be combined with this one for better enhancement on certain areas of your body, X, Y, and Z. So what I'm trying to say is, like, how you become an expert to a point that you know what are the complements that go with your product. Do you use software for this, or it takes a lot of research from your side to understand the niche? Like, what is your advice so sellers can figure out what are actually those other components that I can use as part of my advertising funnel and keyword research to make sure I understand my avatar in that? Yeah.
The problem here is really simple when we are talking about supplements. The problem here is you are not allowed to name anything. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed
claims.
To talk about it. The health claims, they are a big, big problem. So, the idea here is normally when you're absolutely fine with your body and you're healthy, you will not understand how the customer is searching. But the problem is the customer is searching on the first time when it comes to supplement on Google. The Dr. Google problem. So,
what is the best vitamins if I'm feeling weak or if I'm feeling tired?
It's a perfect example. Let's have a look if it's working. Of course, I've taken the same example for a book I've written.
Yeah.
On the one side, you feel tired. On the one side, you're weak. Exactly. But we are both have the same problem. But you searched for tired. I searched for weak. Of course, I have a different knowledge of speaking, and you have a different knowledge of speaking. And that is the problem. And when we are searching for tiredness, we will find a specific blog, we will find a specific group on social media,
an expert
expert, absolutely. And so the problem is really simple. What we are doing here is we are searching vitamins against tiredness, and then we have find something, and then we start our search on Google and combine it with Amazon. And the problem here is really, really simple. Amazon is directly guiding us to specific searches. I've opened it here. And when we are searching for tired, we will land under a SERP site for exhaustion. So that is the problem. And now when we are changing it, instead of tired, we will say a week. We will go to Amazon. And the first... that is cool. The first SERPs are directly two products. Vitamin B12, vitamin B12. So it seems there is a fit of my problem to B12. Mm-hmm. And specific searches are more complex. So nobody understands that where in the United States, you don't have that. But on Europe, Google is linking a lot to Amazon. And it was your example with the supplements. In supplements category, there's the biggest problem. You never know what words you and I are using. And the problem here is, so there's social media stuff. Come here, come close. the nerdy
stuff. As well.
The nerdy stuff. If nobody knows the search, there is no search volume behind it. How can you optimize for so low search volume that it will not appear in the Amazon tools and not on the external tools? So you have to really go deep into the Google jungle and understand what is the search behind it. There are tools out there that can follow directly in the SERPs of Google if there is an Amazon connected link. And if it is a product link, you have ASIN, or is it a SERP link, you will find especially directly the keyword, as we have done it, vitamins for tiredness, and we landed for exhaustion. So when you understand that, that is awesome. So that is a hard example for
supplement. Yeah, of course. That's the top tier example.
So when you, I'm no guy of easy answers like yes and no. When we're talking about supplements, I've worked in that environment years ago. But take it more easy. Let's talk about the trash can. So the trash cans, the simplest example, how do you name a trash can for the office?
Yeah, it could be bin, it could be rubbish storage, it could be
paper basket.
Paper basket, it could be disposal basket, so anyway.
Yeah, but now let's go to the trash can for the child room. Nursery, I think, in English.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's often called trash can for diapers.
Exactly. Yeah.
And when you are into that, when you understand that examples, we have talked about that now with garden chairs, with the supplements, or now with trash cans and the different surroundings you're using them. Then you understand Amazon. Then you understand the products and the customers and the behavior behind it. And then you can start to judge your keywords. Of course, normally, trash can, what paper? Or door free? Well, no, it's not necessary. Oh, yes, it is. If it is for children, you can now start to judge your keywords by knowledge, by understanding what is the behavior and the intents of a problem of a customer. And so that is the thing I really, really like when we are diving into the keyword judging. And so it becomes more and more interesting. I have found it right now. The paper basket is on the one side, of course, waste paper basket. But also in Germany, they are searching toilet paper basket. It sounds stupid, but not all of the paper is toilet paper in the toilet. So you have also a normal basket for waste, for the normal waste in your your bathroom. And that is so unbelievable interesting when you start to focusing instead of search volume and
being a robot, copy paste,
copy paste, it's the same problem. But more and more when we are talking about that problems with for example trash cans, one last problem appears when we are judging keywords. The problem here from my side is Amazon SEO. Search engine optimization. The name was never keyword optimization. The name is search engine optimization. So with search engine, we know it, Amazon A9 algorithms, A plus nine letters, just to make sure. But when we are going into a trash can, for example, in the trash can section, we have the normal kitchen. We have the separated trash cans. We have the paper baskets. We have the trash cans for the bath. We have industrial trash cans. We have the garden trash cans and the normal under the carport and wherever. Yeah. So we have 7 different categories on Amazon for that topic. And why is that so exactly connected to Amazon SEO? Each and every of that categories, I think, combine 3 or 4 different product types. So maybe for the kitchen and for the separated trash cans, yeah, it's the same product type trash can. But when it goes to a paper basket, it's just maybe basket.
Exactly.
With that different product types, your whole flat file is changing completely.
I know. And people don't know.
They don't know. And I'm always like, boom, that is the problem. Not your PPC, not your SEO with the keyword gambling. No, the problem is the data behind it. The specific use cases,
the wrong attributes, all of that,
the special attributes, and all that stuff. You can filter for them. You can find them directly in the SERP under the title. Mm-hmm. You will find it in the mobile and desktop view above the bullet points, the A+ content. And that is the thing everybody is, from my point of view, misunderstanding. So when we are starting with how to judge a keyword, and we go really, really deep with product, market, and customer. On the other side, before we judge a keyword, we have to judge the data fields where we are entering them. Of course, indexation and so on is a problem, but also when you need to enter a specific term. So let's keep it simple for fashion. Washable. Mm-hmm. Washable or triable? So I think the triable, sorry, that's one word. Have a trial. So put it in the trial.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, where's the label for it? Just look on the label. Yeah, well, I have a question. Before I purchase the product, I want to know it. Not when I have the product. Of course, the label is in the product, but not on your listing. And when you're finding sometimes the washing instructions, and everybody's like, 40 degrees, but is it only with hand? Is it for the dryer or not? There are so many inputs and informations you can give the customer before we ever talk about, is it t-shirt with or without space, mm-hmm, written together or not written together? There are so many more optimization steps before judging a keyword. And that's as you said, that's so incredible and so important. And especially copy paste is killing the momentum in variations and also when it comes to categories. So duplication and the easy way and just keyword stuffing is killing your complete marketplace momentum on Amazon.
I know. Now, something I want to add on top of this, because of course, everything we're saying is essential to do the proper SEO on your product. But sometimes I talk to sellers and they say, yes, I have identified X amount of keywords. And sometimes it can become overwhelming to the point that I don't know which keywords to prioritize on my listings on my PPC, because I have realized that the niche that encloses my product is actually bigger than I thought. So it has a lot of connotations, as we're giving examples. So how do you give priority to all these examples? Because as you say in the basket, it reaches a point that you have so many sub niches within the niche itself, and it can get to a point that then you target too many things at once and actually the effort get diluted, right? So how you make the conscious decision where you filter this priority 1 and this priority 10?
On the one side, now it becomes interesting to use tools, because tools are able to show data from Amazon or their own data in different ways. So, for example, in our tool, you will find the revenue share per keyword. So you can judge a keyword not by a search volume, but by the amount of money you will maybe make for it. So you put in all your competitors or all the keywords and you get additional numbers. So we don't want to try to copy Amazon and build a better UI. So that doesn't make any sense. We want solutions. Also, as a software, as a service provider, you have to give solutions. And On the other side, you can work with negative SEO. So I really like that stuff. Negative SEO means not the negative, the negotiation of keywords in PPC. So when you have, for example, an handy case and it's not metal or not for the iPhone, you can just in our tool erase that keyword. And every keyword connected to that search is discarded directly. So you can find that focus with negative SEO. And what I like most is not that our tool is bad. Our tool is awesome, but Amazon has its own tools for it. And when your listing is appearing the first time, so you have it 1 week or 2 weeks or in additional listing, you can also take an ASIN from a different competitor. Especially, I think, in Vendor Central AMS accounts or all Kindle KDP accounts, when you're then starting a sponsored brand, entering an ASIN. It's not connected to your account, but Amazon will show you relevant keywords. Easy to understand that on that side. That is helpful. On the other side, the Product Opportunity Explorer combined with Brand Analytics. Brand Analytics, for example, Trash Can, keep it simple, focused at the beginning, get rid of paper and so on, but put Trash Can or Trash Bin and Luggage Bin, whatever the synonyms are, in the most searched keyword overview, and you're seeing if you're right or wrong. But if you're going one step back into the Product Opportunity Explorer, there's a niche analysis for each and every keyword. You can start with mattress, or you can directly start with mattress 90x200. And you will find up to 100 keywords exactly connected with the whole funnel. Amazon is showing everything since, I think, 2 years. And every seller I'm consulting, I'm going into... wait, where do you see my data? I say, no, that's not your data. Overall data for everybody. That is not possible. Where can I find it? And when you're going into their accounts and saying like, here. They're like, damn. Product Opportunity Explorer. So extremely deep data on ASIN or keyword level, and everybody is missing that. And that's the easiest way to judge it. I had a talk today and one in the next evening. Where is the same problem? And I'm always focusing on go into the data. Into the data. Here you can find if you're wrong positioned or correct positioned. That is the first thing. Normally, there's always a product on Amazon. Nobody is building up a new brand. Liquid Death, that was the last big brand, I think, that really, really built it up a new product. The rest on the biggest marketplace worldwide, you will find data. You don't have to say, no, my product is so special. I don't think so. Yeah. And then you can start to judge. Normally, it depends on your money in your pocket. Of course, on the one side, you can focus on the big. On the big words, or you're going really, really deep with a lower search volume behind it, but you are getting easier, more relevant. The problem is a product that isn't shown will not be sold. So that is the typical Amazon SEO problem. And PPC can solve a lot of problems, but not all of them. So you can start to focus on the smaller words to become more recognizable and findable. And for the 3 or 4 or 5 combination keywords.
Exactly.
But on the other side, what I've seen, I think 2 or 3 years ago, before or at the beginning of Corona, really, really special, all the tools were bidding on all main keywords, but the customers set a too high expectations for low ACOS. So what all tools have done, for example, earring, one of the major keywords, they have bidded it down in all accounts. I was like, I want to try what is happening on the main keywords. And I was surprised. I was with 60 or 70 cents and absolutely successful. And I have talked to a lot of guys on the events of tools. And I was like, Sorry, one question. Are you bidding down the main keywords course to missing success? You're killing the funnel at the upper end and open it for me. Thank you. So you have, what's the easy way? Use cases or case studies. And there was an awesome event, I think 2 months ago, somebody talked about case studies. And the final agreement was there are no case study out there that can help you. Because there's only one case study that is your case study.
Exactly.
Your data, your ideas, your goals, and how you reached them. Because everybody else is coming from a different category, maybe, so that isn't absolutely useful for you. And when it's direct your category, you don't know the size of a pocket, the PPC.
If they're doing anything external traffic, things with social media, all the things that you don't see, you know? So
that is the most important sentence in every Amazon podcast, what you've said.
Yeah.
Of course, they are always coming with, they are making sales on Amazon.
Yeah, I don't know where they're getting the traffic from and all of that, yeah.
As long as nobody knows, are we good in WhatsApp, in OnlyFans, YouTube,
Facebook groups, TikTok, Facebook Telegram,
newsletters, Telegram. As long you don't know exactly about that, you never are able to judge sales on Amazon. So it's just a number. But you can solve that problem really easy. Make sure you're in the funnel of your competitor.
Exactly.
Make sure that you know where we are working with influencers, where the traffic is coming from. Try to be a customer of your competitor.
Reverse engineer it. Become a client of theirs.
Yeah. Become not a client. We are talking about the same. Absolutely. It's a simple example. You name it client. I said customer. We are coming back to SEO. What's the problem with keywords and how to judge them? In Germany or in every country, maybe we have East Germany with 17 million people, and they are talking with a dialect. So when we have Bavaria, I think 8 or 9 million people, they are talking with a much more dialect, and they are using different words. And so you have to be inside of your customer also, as we have figured out at the moment, make your enemy as close as possible to understand what they are doing. And the sum of it means at the end, not success, that is often a misunderstanding. That means understanding and knowledge to build your solutions.
Exactly.
And that is the first thing. We are not talking about, I want success. At the first, we need knowledge and understanding of product, market, and customer. And then we can build solutions from that. Success is then a result of hard work.
Yeah, you couldn't say it better. You know, I think I feel that's the place where Amazon sellers are struggling most. They think that a lot of these things is just a methodology that you can replicate by copy pasting, and they get frustrated because they copy paste the same thing that X guy did, and they had a 20 million exit, and they think they're gonna also have a 20 million exit. Like, every single scenario is completely different. You don't know the specific circumstances, what they were doing that moment in time, the timing when they entered the market, so many things. And I feel if you see Amazon just from the perspective of copy-paste technicality and finding always the silver bullet, you're always going to struggle because every single scenario is completely different and you need to be open-minded. And as you say, reverse engineer what the market is doing, your competition, and from there create your own solutions, not what X, Y, and Z podcast say. I mean, it's a good inspiration, of course, and use that as a starting point, but it's not you're going to copy paste it and you're going to have success, right? So, super important.
Absolutely. And from my point of view, never copy your competitor, because when you only get as good as them, but to get their market share, you have to spend a lot of value of money. So, from my point of view, that's an advice I'm giving every seller which is starting from scratch. Always source a product that you never want to sell. Just when you're starting, for example, in beauty category, try to sell something in home improvement or so. Make sure that you're always open-minded for the market. Of course, a lot of features are maybe only occurring on home improvement. and you're not seeing them, or extreme cool ideas of big brands or agencies are just for their first clients or rolled out in the US just for that category. When you're just sitting in your little bubble, supplements, beauty, whatever, you will never see what is happening outside your environment on Amazon. And for getting inspirations and ideas, of course, follow, like, and share the podcast here. But make sure that you are following and like and share the customers. Of course, your beauty customer is also purchasing sometime in home improvement or whatever. And the idea is here not get connected with the same customer in different categories. No, figuring out what's the status quo of titles, images, A+, data management, maybe PPC, and to get into it, to build your own solutions.
Correct. So, Christian, it's been a pleasure. I know this is only scratching the surface. I mean, we can go so much deeper. There's so many verticals, especially PPC and so on. So I'm sure we're going to have to do a second and third part, which I'm very excited to have you on board in the future. In the meantime, I'm sure people is amazed about, you know, all the wisdom you've been sharing today. So how people can, first of all, get in contact with you, and also tell us a little bit more about the company Amalyze and how sellers can leverage that technology to their advantage as well. Yeah.
So, before we go into advertise your own product, the easiest and most important thing from my point of view is in the Seller Central, you will find news nearly weekly or daily. You will find news. Amazon's not writing you a personal mail, but you find news about the new fees and all that stuff. We are always collecting that news and showing it once a month on our YouTube channel in English and also in German. So that is most important. I don't want you as a follower on my channel. No, that's not the topic. Go into your Seller Central, figuring out the news that is absolutely important for you, especially in Europe when it comes to the EU regularies and all that stuff. When you want to get in contact with me, really easy, Amalyze.
That's it.
You can find me directly on LinkedIn and get in contact with me, but always come with a question or a problem. So when I can answer or solve your problem. And on the other side, our tool, Amalyze, you can use it 14 days in a free trial. That's really, really cool. You will find not the typical copy-paste data from Amazon. We have built it own solutions like entities. Entities, as you know it maybe from Google, for example, an allergic person is an audience.
So, that's correct.
And the mattress is the main word. 9200 is the size. You will find that entity clusters directly for all your keywords. And that is really, really cool. Just the tip of the iceberg. And I really, 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 sorry, I really, really like to solve problems. So that's our idea. And when we can show you and yourself how to solve them, we are not an agency. We are not solving your problems. We are showing you how you can solve your problems for the next, next. And this time, of course, that has more impact for your business instead of getting all outsourced.
Awesome. So, Christian, thank you so much. Pleasure. Wish you an amazing week, bro. Let's keep in touch. Yeah, can't wait to meet you again in person. I'm sure we're going to see each other at upcoming events.
Let's get the party started.
Let's do it.
Yes.
See you, bro. Next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.